are listening to The Butterfly Effect on Penguin Radio 102.3 FM, only at Dominican University of California. I am your host, DJ Monarch. This is The Butterfly Effect, from a spark to flame. Welcome to this episode of The Butterfly Effect. The Butterfly Effect is an idea that is commonly used in chaos theory. Today, we are going to be discussing how a small change can make much bigger changes happen, and how one small incident can have a big impact on the future. The Butterfly Effect, a show about how a small change can have a much larger impact on our future. On today's episode of The Butterfly Effect, we are going to be discussing political violence and voting rights in the United States of America. Voting. Voting is a part of our civic responsibilities as an American citizen. Once you turn 18, along with the excitement of buying lottery tickets, voting is another exciting new right and responsibility you now have as a U.S. citizen. I remember turning 18, and I remember the first time I voted. My first time voting was very exciting. I come from a very politically active family. My parents are extremely outspoken on race, gender, and civil rights. They have led civil rights organizations, run for public office, and committed a lot of their life's work to helping people in marginalized communities. My grandparents grew up in the Jim Crow South and even had to pay a poll tax the first time they ever voted. So my first time voting was a major event in my household. I remember waking up that morning. My dad made fluffy, buttery pancakes with fresh fruit, scrambled eggs, and sizzling bacon. "Eat up, kiddo, we're voting today," he exclaimed. We then all piled into the car, me, my little sister, my mom, my dad, and even our dog. We then made the 7-minute drive to the polls. Outside the polls, there were people standing outside giving some other people information and others in line. When we finally got inside, they then asked a few questions, then handed me my ballot. I walked into the booth to go vote. I was shocked at how long the ballot was. I was slightly overwhelmed by the number of offices I was supposed to be voting on. I think it's extremely important, and it's also extremely important to educate yourself on all the people running for office. Yes, you could simply just vote inside of your party, Democrat or Republican, for every office, but is that truly fulfilling your civic duty? I was kind of embarrassed. I thought I did my research on who was running for office, but I had never heard of some of these offices. For example, what the heck was the Commissioner for Agriculture? I mean, that sounds important, but I had never heard of it. I stared down at the two names, having no idea which one would be better. How was I supposed to decide who was the better candidate if I didn't know who either of them were? And oh my goodness, there was a back. I started to get tired of filling out this ballot. Oh my gosh, who knew it would be this long? This is known as ballot fatigue, which is when there are several names on a political ballot and voters choose to ignore some candidates when there are too many choices. Ballot fatigue is an expression that suggests that many voters exhaust their patience and/or their knowledge as they work their way down the ballot. It makes and causes fewer numbers of voters to cast for it, which then creates voters to become non-voters. After I finally finished my ballot, I remember the most exciting part was receiving my "I voted" sticker. We then all piled back into the car. My parents were so giddy about being able to be a part of my first time voting. As a kid, I would always go with my mom to vote. Voting was just as much a part of my childhood as a family vacation may have been. When I showed up to school about 20 minutes late, I remember the not-so-friendly responses I got. When I explained that I was late to school because I was voting, the reactions were not only ignorant, but somewhat rude and nasty. Why are you voting? Voting is not important. You know your vote doesn't really make a difference, right? I was surprised and disgusted by this response. How do people not understand the importance of voting? It is important to use your voice, for you and for those who do not have a voice. It is important to fulfill your civic responsibility. Many people either do not have the opportunity to vote or experience a multitude of barriers preventing them from voting. These barriers can be known as political violence. Political violence is violence which is perpetrated by people or government in order to achieve political goals. It can include violence which is used by a state against other states, or it can describe violence which is used against non-state actors. Under this umbrella of political violence is voter suppression. Voter suppression is a strategy used to influence the outcome of an election by discouraging or preventing specific groups of people from voting. Let's talk about Selma. Selma is a cinematic masterpiece, but also a brutal film to watch. The movie depicts a part of United States history that people either like to forget or simply glaze over. The film is done in such a way which makes you feel a part of the protest and evokes particular emotions. The acts of violence enacted on these black and brown bodies just trying to gain basic civil rights is disturbing. For those of you who may not be familiar with the film Selma, Selma is a film which was released in 2014 and directed by Ava DuVernay. The description of the film is, quote, "Although the Civil Rights Act of 1964 legally desegregated the South, discrimination was still rampant in certain areas, making it very difficult for blacks to register to vote. In 1965, an Alabama city became the battleground in the fight for suffrage. Despite violent oppression, Dr. Martin Luther King, played by David Oyelowo, and his followers pressed forward on an epic march from Selma to Montgomery, and their efforts culminated in President Lyndon Johnson signing the Voting Rights Act of 1965. The day depicted in the film is historically significant and is also known as Bloody Sunday. It became a turning point in the civil rights movement. On March 7, 1965, 25-year-old activist John Lewis led over 600 marchers across the Edmund Pettus Bridge in Selma, Alabama. They were met with state troopers ready to attack and white spectators waving Confederate flags. This was because the Civil Rights Act of 1964 did little to ensure African Americans the basic right to vote. Quote, "Perhaps no place was Jim Crow's grip tighter than in Dallas County, Alabama, where African Americans made up more than half of the population, yet accounted just 2% of registered voters." Okay, let me break this down for you. That means that African Americans made up more than half of the population, but only 2% were registered to vote. That means whoever is elected is representing that entire population, but over half of the people in that population had no say in who was elected and now representing them. Can you imagine having to go through something like that to simply obtain the right to vote? Can you imagine being brutally attacked just to ensure your civil rights? I surely can't. We like to think about all of this as something that happened a long time ago. Oh, what's the big deal? It's in the past. But the truth is, it really wasn't that long ago. 1965 was only 56 years ago. I honor the struggle for freedom by making sure I vote, because that's the least I can do. After the break, we are going to be discussing more about political violence in the United States of America and voter suppression in the U.S. You are listening to The Butterfly Effect on Penguin Radio, 102.3 FM, only at Dominican University of California. I am your host, DJ Monarch. From a spark to a flame. We'll be right back. Welcome back to this episode of The Butterfly Effect on Penguin Radio 102.3 FM, only at Dominican University of California. Once again, I am your host, DJ Monarch. On today's episode, we have been discussing political violence in the United States of America. Political violence is not an unprecedented thing here in the United States of America. Take a minute and think about it. The actual foundations of this country are built from political violence. The American Revolution, rebelling against the king, is an example of political violence. Reconstruction after the American Civil War was the Colfax Massacre in 1873 in Louisiana, where the then Democratic Party would not accept African Americans' right to vote. The Ku Klux Klan, striking fear throughout the South to scare and oppress African Americans. Even the storming of the Capitol on January 6th in 2021, with people shouting, quote, "This is our house," while waving Confederate flags. Violence seems to be the default here in the United States, and we cover it up with patriotism. Conflict and violence seem to be the way we forcefully get our point across. The struggle to secure voting rights has been a continuous issue in the United States of America for the past century. According to the Washington Post article, "How GOP-backed voting measures could create hurdles for tens of millions of voters," apparently now, the GOP is trying to enact new restrictions which could hinder tens of millions of Americans' voting rights. Quote, "This could potentially amount to the most sweeping contraction of ballot access in the United States since the end of Reconstruction, when Southern states codified the voting rights of formerly enslaved black men." A Washington Post analysis has found, quote, "For those of you who are not familiar with the Reconstruction era, allow me to explain it to you a little bit. The Reconstruction era took place as a result of the Civil War. It spanned from about 1863 to 1877, and the Reconstruction era heavily dealt with the issue of understanding the legal status of newly free African Americans. Quote, "Now in 43 states across the United States, Republican lawmakers have proposed at least 250 laws that would limit mail, early in-person, and election day voting, with such constraints as stricter ID requirements, limited hours, or narrower eligibility to vote absentee." 250 laws is 7 times more than last year. They claim these new policies are necessary to ensure election integrity. Sure. After the 2020 presidential election, when former President Donald Trump made claims of election fraud and convinced millions of his supporters that the results were rigged against him, this then resulted in riots at the Capitol. These new laws will disproportionately affect those in larger cities and African American voters in particular. The hurry to get these new laws into effect is due to the amount of mail-in ballots because of the COVID-19 pandemic. My second time voting, which was during the pandemic, was also on an absentee ballot. The 2020 election had the largest voter turnout in more than a century. Quote, 116 million people, 73% of the electorate, casting their ballots before Election Day, according to the Post analysis. And these new laws would do more than limit early mail-in voting and early voting. Quote, long lines are going to be the story of 2022 unless something is done, said Democratic election lawyer Mark Ellis. And as we all know, where these long lines will be, in larger cities. And who lives in these larger cities? African Americans. Seems that election integrity is the sugar-coated way of saying, well, voter suppression. Okay, let me give you a clear example. A big game changer in the 2020 election was Georgia. For the first time in almost 30 years, Georgia elected a Democratic president and two Democratic United States senators. After this major upset for Republicans, new bills are now in place to change Georgia's election laws. These new laws would include doing away with no excuse absentee voting, requiring absentee voter ID, restricting the locations of ballot drop boxes, and limiting the hours for early voting, among other restrictions. And once again, the so-called reasoning for this is, that's right, you guessed it, election integrity, which we all know is the sugar-coated way of saying voter suppression. Okay, the new restrictions wouldn't be too different from the restrictions put in place in 1890 by Mississippi, where they changed their constitution and charged a poll tax and required a literacy test for those attempting to register to vote. According to AtlantaMagazine.com's article, here's what's going on with voting legislation in Georgia and why opponents say it's clear voter suppression. Quote, there were over 190,000 black men registered to vote in Mississippi in 1890. And 2 years later, after the rewriting of the Constitution, there were only 8,600. It went from 190,000 to 8,600. Okay, I know you're thinking, really? 1890? Of course there were issues then. But look, we've come a long way. We even had an African American president in office for 2 whole terms. And yes, you're right, we did, but don't start cheering yet. Quote, in 2013, the Supreme Court decisions in Shelby County versus Holder to overturn a key portion of the Voting Rights Act created a pathway for local officials to, quote, close polls or change voting laws without the permission of the federal government, according to Vice News. The Voting Rights Act was created to prevent the things that are currently happening right now in Georgia. After the break, we are going to be discussing more about voter suppression. You are listening to The Butterfly Effect on Penguin Radio, 102.3 FM, only at Dominican University of California. I'm your host, DJ Monarch. From a spark to flame. We'll be right back. Welcome back to this episode of The Butterfly Effect on Penguin Radio, 102.3 FM, only at Dominican University of California. Once again, I am your host, DJ Monarch. On today's episode, we have been discussing political violence and voter suppression in the United States of America. We previously discussed what is currently happening in Georgia as a result of the state's voting Democrat in the 2020 presidential election. Another state experiencing similar issues now is Arizona. The majority of Arizona's voters were cast by ballot this election. As a result of this, Republican leaders are now trying to change the state's permanent early voting list, PEVL. PEVL allows voters to sign up once to receive a ballot in the mail for each election instead of having to request a mail-in ballot every time, along with trying to pass voting bills that would give themselves the final say in selecting the state's presidential electors. According to this proposed amendment, quote, the legislator would meet the Monday after Election Day to review or investigate election results. They then have sole authority to appoint the presidential electors who will cast this state's votes in the Electoral College and shall exercise the authority without interference. So basically, this proposed amendment will strip voters of their rights and power to elect their own leaders. Voting should be as easy as possible. However, throughout the United States, politicians are making it more and more difficult to cast a ballot. So, I've been saying voter identification laws a lot. So let me explain to you exactly what voter identification laws are and how it translates into voter suppression. According to the ACLU, 36 states have identification requirements at the polls. 7 states have strict photo ID laws, under which voters must present one of a limited set of forms of government-issued photo ID in order to cast a regular ballot. No exceptions. Voter ID laws have been established by the U.S. Government Accountability Office to reduce voter turnout by 2 to 3 percentage points, translating to tens of thousands of voters lost in a single state. Over 21 million U.S. citizens do not have government-issued photo identification. Obtaining an ID card is not as easy as you may think. IDs can be expensive, especially expensive for those in lower-income communities, along with having to wait in long lines at the DMV or getting transportation to the DMV if you do not live where one is near you. Another tactic used in voter suppression is voter registration restrictions. According to the ACLU, states restrict regulation by allowing people to register long in advance of an election. For example, New York requires voters to register at least 25 days before the election, which imposes an unnecessary burden on the right to vote. In the 2016 presidential election, over 900,000 New Yorkers were unable to vote because their applications did not meet the 25-day cutoff, and the state had the 8th worst turnout rate in the entire country. And if you're still not quite sure about voter suppression and if it's real or not, let me give you some statistics. According to the ACLU, 70% of Georgia voters purged in 2018 were African American. Across the country, 1 in 13 Black Americans cannot vote due to disenfranchisement laws. Across the country, counties with larger minority populations have fewer polling sites and poll workers per voter. Voting should take no more than 30 minutes, according to the Presidential Commission on Election Administration. However, in the 2018 midterm elections, this was not the case. About half of Black and Latino voters waited an average of 45% longer than white voters. This is mainly because Black and Latino voters live in communities with fewer electoral services. Since 2013, polls throughout certain states have just been closed. For example, in Georgia, 1 in 5 voting locations closed. In Arizona, 1 in 5 voting locations closed. In Texas, 1 in 10 voting locations closed. In Louisiana, 1 in 20 voting locations closed. And in Mississippi, 1 in 20 voting locations closed. Oh, and you guessed it, these closures were mainly focused in minority communities. Get this fun fact. Texas allows voters to use a gun license to vote, but they do not accept a student ID from a state university. Politics sometimes forgets about the people. Politics turns into getting your people out to vote, the ones that will support you and what you believe, not necessarily all of the people. And yes, both political parties are guilty of this. They do this to remain in power. Let me tell you a story. In 1960, on Election Day, Clarence Gaskins, an African-American man in Georgia, went to his poll to vote. When he arrived, he was taken to a room. In this room was a jar of corn, a cucumber, a watermelon, and a bar of soap. You may be wondering, what do a jar of corn, a cucumber, a watermelon, and a bar of soap have to do with voting? Well, you're not alone. He was told to be able to vote, he had to answer the following questions correctly. How many kernels of corn are in the jar? How many bumps on the cucumber? How many seeds in the watermelon? And how many bubbles in the bar of soap? Okay, let's just take a minute. I'm going to read those questions again. How many kernels of corn are in the jar? How many bumps on the cucumber? How many seeds in the watermelon? And how many bubbles in the bar of soap? You may think I'm joking, but these were the questions Clarence Gaskins was required to answer to be able to vote. Needless to say, he did not answer the questions and he was not able to cast a ballot. Do any of the questions I just asked you have anything to do with voting? And why was he even asked those questions in order to be able to vote? Now, you're right, we do not have these crazy kinds of tricky trivia questions, but there are still a number of hurdles minorities are faced with when simply trying to cast their ballot. Another major issue is gerrymandering. Gerrymandering is, quote, the drawing of districts to give an advantage to a political party. Every 10 years, states redraw district lines. These district lines are drawn based on population data, which is gathered during the census. Then, legislators use the district lines to determine representation in Congress and state legislators. When the process of redistricting is done correctly, district lines are redrawn to show population changes and diversity. But unfortunately, states use redistricting as a political tool, which they then use to manipulate the outcomes of elections. This is known as gerrymandering. Gerrymandering causes millions of voters to be silenced. Christina Greer, an associate professor of political science at Fordham University, said, quote, gerrymandering ultimately does hinder people from the right to vote. Quote, it either dilutes their vote or it makes hyper-concentrated so it dilutes in other places. It's packing and cracking, and you can use mathematical solutions to look at a state and look at where people of color are, especially Black people, in a particular area distributed through the state. And you can make districts where you can either pack them all into one or two districts. After the break, we are going to be discussing further about voter discrimination and political violence in the United States of America. You are listening to The Butterfly Effect on Penguin Radio, 102.3 FM, only at Dominican University of California. I am your host, DJ Monarch. From a spark to a flame, we'll be right back. Welcome back to this episode of The Butterfly Effect on Penguin Radio, 102.3 FM, only at Dominican University of California. Once again, I am your host, DJ Monarch. On today's episode, we have been discussing voter suppression and political violence in the United States. So we have gone through a lot of material today, so let's decompress a little bit. So the big question, why is voting so important? Voting is important because it provides an opportunity for you to vote for people who can represent you, your values, and your beliefs. Another question, why is voting so important for African Americans? Unfortunately, in this country, African Americans have had to gain double rights. In this country, has proven that they would not honor the rights and laws as they are stated in the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. After the Civil War, the 13th Amendment, the 14th Amendment, and the 15th Amendment were created. They were created to create equality for African Americans, especially in the South. The 13th Amendment, ratified in 1865, abolished slavery and indentured servitude. The 14th Amendment, ratified in 1868, gave African Americans, quote, equal protection under the laws. The 15th Amendment was passed in 1870, which gave Black people the right to vote. However, Congress did not provide anyone to enforce the 15th Amendment immediately. The Southern states who were not so keen and willing to give African Americans these rights. So, Tennessee was one of the last states to formally ratify the 15th Amendment until 1997. That's right, you heard me, 1997. In addition, voting rights were denied to those convicted of crimes through felon discrimination laws. By 1870, 28 states created a version of laws prohibiting convicted felons the right to vote. According to the Journal of Criminal Law and Criminology, a peer-reviewed study published by the Northwestern University School of Law, quote, some states still enact these laws. According to the American Civil Liberties Union, only two states, Maine and Vermont, give everyone the uninhibited right to vote. Three states currently disenfranchise felons from voting permanently. These states are Iowa, Kentucky, and Virginia. Southern states had rules known as Jim Crow laws, which mandated segregation in public places. To make it more difficult for African Americans to vote, the poll tax was created, which at the time, this poll tax could be 2% to 6% of an African American's family's annual income in Mississippi. 2% to 6% of your entire family's income simply to exercise your right to vote. Poll taxes predominantly affected African American voters. They discouraged them from wanting to vote. Poll taxes continued to be an issue all the way up until the 20th century. As of 1964, Alabama, Arkansas, Mississippi, Texas, and Virginia had a poll tax. According to the New York Times in a January 24, 1964 article, another tactic for voter suppression used was literacy tests. Literacy tests ask questions pertaining to United States history. You may think that sounds fair, but let me put this into perspective for you. The questions on the literacy test would be something like, in which document or writing in the Bill of Rights are the Bill of Rights found? Or name two of the purposes of the U.S. Constitution as found in the 1965 Alabama literacy test. Those are actual questions from a literacy test. However, African Americans who were required to take these tests to be able to vote were descendants of slaves. And the slaves were not educated, and it was illegal for them to know how to read or to write due to anti-literacy laws. So basically, African Americans were asked questions that they were not able to answer. They were set up to fail, and this was completely intentional. More about poll taxes, they were later abolished in 1964 by the 24th Amendment, and literacy tests were abolished by the Voting Rights Act of 1965. Things were getting better, things were looking up. Until then, in 2013, we took about 10 steps backwards. In a 5-4 decision, Section 4 of the Voting Rights Act, 1965, was ruled unconstitutional by the United States Supreme Court in the court case Shelby County versus Holder. But now in 2021, another law has to be passed, the John Lewis Voting Rights Bill, in order to stop the voter suppression laws that state governments are now trying to pass. So African Americans must vote in order to elect individuals who care about protecting the rights of African Americans. That is why it is so important for them to vote. Another question, what is voter suppression and political violence, and why does it matter? Voter suppression has gone on in this country since the end of Reconstruction. Voter suppression is the denial of voting rights to citizens either through violent or creation of illegal requirements. Unfortunately, there are many examples of political violence in this country against Black people. Political violence is defined as violence against Black people for trying to utilize their rights as citizens. Political violence has been enacted against Black people in this country for trying to vote or for demanding equal rights in this country. How does political violence specifically affect minorities? Whenever Black people gather to express their dissatisfaction with the laws and the way they're enforced, they are met by the government with violence. It is extremely important to be able to have healthy discussions about difficult topics such as voter suppression and political violence. It may be uncomfortable, but how can we fix these issues if we never talk about it? We need to come together to protect the vote and protect people's right to vote. Because we will work best as a nation when everyone eligible to vote can vote and have their voices heard. We need to take political violence and voter suppression seriously because everything is at stake. Thank you for joining us. You have been listening to The Butterfly Effect on Penguin Radio 102.3 FM, only at Dominican University of California. I am your host, DJ Monarch, and this is The Butterfly Effect, from a spark to a flame. Please join us for next week's episode of The Butterfly Effect.